Can God change your life in the next 30 minutes? I believe you're watching right now because God has something special for you. Join me for Jewish Voice and you'll discover how Bible prophecy is coming to pass before our very eyes and why you need to stand with Israel. You can play a role in God's end time plan. Find out how on Jewish Voice. Shalom and welcome to Jewish Voice. We are so glad you've tuned in today. I'm Jonathan Burness and I'm joined today by my co-host Ezra Benjamin. Did you know that the Israelites who wandered in the desert for 40 years were supernaturally sustained by God? Even though they rebelled and they suffered the consequences, God still brought healing through a strange act, a serpent held up on a pole. This is a picture of Jesus being raised up for your healing today. Ezra, I love this. This is a foreshadowing.
That's right.
Of the Messiah,
right,
who says, "By my wounds you are healed."
Isaiah 53.
I
it's
love
such
that.
A deep teaching. Jonathan, we should jump right in.
Let's
Numbers
go.
21.
Let's go.
So the context here is that the children of Israel are wandering in the wilderness for 40 years. They're rebelling. As my grandma would say, they're kvetching. They're complaining about everything. They're being swallowed up into the earth. They're dying in droves through fiery serpent bites.
Yeah.
But then they come to this place of repentance.
They
Makes
do.
Sense.
They do. Isn't it strange, though, when you think about the miracles they witnessed? They saw the 10 plagues. They saw God spare their firstborn and the Egyptians' first,
right,
the firstborn of the Egyptians taken by the angel of death. They saw the Nile turned into blood.
Exactly.
They saw the parting of the Red Sea. They were fed manna and pheasant in the wilderness. Their shoes were told never wore out.
Right.
And yet they still rebelled against God.
Right.
And you think how strange, until you realize that human nature is the same today.
We have a tendency to forget. I think
we
that's
do.
Why we have to rehearse, you know, in Jewish homes, we're rehearsing every year the story of the Passover, and God commands us to remember it. Why? Because we tend to forget.
Yeah, and I think as followers of Jesus, we tend to maybe not forget, but we put it aside.
Sure.
And I think this is human nature.
Right.
Human nature we have a complaining nature.
Right.
We have a rebellious nature, and we have to. Paul struggled with this. He said, "How do I solve this? What's
right.
the dilemma? Is my flesh doesn't do what it should do.
Exactly.
And I do what I'm not supposed to. What's the solution? And the solution, of course, is Yeshua.
Right.
It's
Messiah
Jesus
in me.
Yeah.
The hope of
so
glory.
Let's jump into this. We'll start in Numbers 21, verse 5. The people spoke against God and Moses. Why have you brought us from Egypt to die in the wilderness? Because there is no bread, no water, and our very spirits detest the despicable food. Hmm. So Adonai, verse 6, God sent poisonous serpents among the people, and they bit the people, and many of the people of Israel died. Now, that's the consequence of sin. That's the wage of sin is death. That's true today too. That's a biblical principle. And complaining, I call complaining kind of a believer's sin. It's a Christian sin, Ezra. We don't think mm-hmm. of complaining as sinning, but it is. It's one of the, actually
right.
God detests complaining. And we all do it. We complain.
Right.
We focus on the problem. We complain, where is God?
Sure.
And God says that the solution is not to focus on the problem, but on the solution.
Exactly.
Right?
With thankfulness.
Yet on him. So the people repent. They did the right thing in verse 7. The people came to Moses and said, "We've sinned when we spoke against the Lord and you. Pray to Adonai for us that he may take away the snake." So Moses, a great intercessor, prays for the people. And here's what the Lord says to do. Adonai said to Moses, "Make yourself a fiery snake and put it on a pole. Whenever anyone who has been bitten looks at it, he will live." And so Moses, verse 9, made a bronze snake and put it on a pole. And it happened that whenever anyone bit by a snake looked at the bronze snake, he or she lived.
Right. And Jonathan, we see this image. I mean, I think it's the most popular image in the world for medical care, right? Hospitals, ambulances have this pole with a snake around it. We see it so often we don't think of it, but it's from Numbers 21.
It's from here. Now, there's some interesting things I want to point out. I think, at least for me, when I read this, I thought, this is strange. Why would God choose the image of a serpent to bring healing? Mm-hmm. And because it's contrary, it seems, to Genesis, Exodus 20,
sure,
verse 4, no graven images. And you see in very strictly observant Jewish homes, no pictures of individuals or wildlife, no statues,
right?
Because of this command, have no graven image of anything that is in heaven or on the earth or beneath it or in the water. So they're very strict. That's
sure.
literal. And you have a snake being chosen here by God himself.
Right.
And then Genesis 3:15, it's the serpent that beguiles Adam and Eve. It's the serpent, which is Satan, that causes the fall of man. And so we think of the imagery of a serpent as evil, as
sure.
demonic. And yet God chooses this very symbol to heal the people. And I think there's a number of reasons for this, Ezra. Mm-hmm. The first being that God is sovereign. And here's a very simple definition for sovereignty. If you wonder what sovereignty is, God can do whatever he wants, any way he wants, and he doesn't have to ask anyone permission. God can do whatever he wants. He doesn't have to get permission from me. He is the creator of all things. And if he determines that a snake is now going to be a symbol of healing, he's sovereign.
Right, that makes sense. But I think our audience may be asking the question, why? Why this particular image put up on a pole in this particular way?
Yeah, let me just say something else also. God's holy, which means that God is set apart. The world's divided. Here's how simple it is. Everything's divided into two categories, the creator and everything else. Mm-hmm. And then sanctification is where God determines that something is going to be pulled over to his side. The created becomes set apart by the creator. That's what it means that we're sanctified. We're pulled over to God's side and we're set apart. Idolatry is worshiping created things rather than the creator.
So God's taking this image. He's telling Moses to create this snake, which we think of as an accursed thing, but he's setting it apart, as you said, unto holiness, unto God's purposes. But Jonathan, why a serpent? Why a serpent versus anything
else?
Well,
I'm only going to give you what I see. I think that this is a foreshadowing of God's redemption of mankind over the fall. So the snake is is Satan.
Okay.
But the promise is that the head of the serpent will be crushed.
Right.
So in the end, we know God wins, right?
Yes.
So the very thing that has beguiled man, that has separated man from God, is now going to be redeemed, not the serpent itself, but God is declaring that the serpent will ultimately be defeated and there'll be victory, there'll be redemption. And so this lifting up of the snake, I think, is a foreshadowing of the redemption over the fall. Like, the day will come when there's no more stigma on the serpent because death has been defeated.
Right.
And God has declared that this will happen through the seed of the woman.
So the children of Israel are to look at this thing which is accursed or has been cursed by God, and somehow in seeing that the serpent has been cursed, the enemy's been cursed, we're free from the curse.
Yeah, all of that will pass away. God, in the end, declares that every enemy will be defeated. And the day will come when there's a new heavens and a new earth. But we're also a new creation in Messiah. So the redemption has taken place in our heart, but it's not completed yet. Our bodies die. But God is foreshadowing, has declared, he will redeem mankind. There will be life from the dead. And I think that serpent represents life from the dead. It also, Ezra, is a foreshadowing of Messiah being lifted up. This is actually referenced in the New Covenant, that just as the serpent was lifted up in the wilderness and brought healing to the people, the Son of Man, the Messiah,
right,
is going to be lifted up unto death and bring victory, bring healing.
Those are the words of Jesus himself in the New Testament. He's saying, as you said, just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness. So Jesus is comparing his own being lifted up, we know he's about to go to the cross, to the same thing that's happening here in Numbers 21. What's the connection?
Yeah, I think that this is a foreshadowing of victory, that the snake has represented the fall of man, but God's ultimate declaration is that he will restore all things to the time before the fall.
And we know that
all things. That's what life from the dead is. And I'm referencing, by the way, and I want to put it up, Romans chapter 11, verse 15, that the restoration of the Jewish people back to God will bring life from the dead. What's Paul talking about? He's talking about the redemption of mankind to a state before the fall. And I think that the snake bringing healing represents God's complete plan of redemption for mankind.
Wow, it's incredible.
It's incredible. So much symbolism. But then directly, it's a foreshadowing of the Messiah.
Right, the one who would be cursed for us so that we could be set free.
And by the way, it's not just lifting up to set us free. By his wounds, you are healed.
Amen.
Hey, we've got to take a short break as our announcer comes to tell us about some of the special resources that we want to sow into your life this week. Ezra and I will be back with much more as we continue our discussion about God's faithfulness and protection over our lives. Don't go away.
We need your help right now to provide medical care and supplies to Jewish people and their neighbors in Africa. Your support is crucial as the need is so urgent. For your one-time gift today of $40 or more, we'll send you two Confessing the Hebrew Scriptures workbooks, The Lord Your Healer and The Lord Our Righteousness. Both workbooks come with an audio CD, which leads you in following along in English, and then by using transliteration, you can begin speaking in Hebrew the very first time you open the workbook. We'll send these two workbooks to you today as you support Jewish Voice Outreaches with a one-time gift of $40 or more. Jonathan is encouraging you to join him as a monthly Shalom partner as you join us with your monthly support of just $30 today. You'll not only receive the workbooks already mentioned, but we'll also send you this ancient Hebrew manuscript of Isaiah 53:5, replicated on an aged parchment-like background. Call our 800 number now and let our representative know what level of giving you would like to participate in. If you prefer, you can always choose to give online at jewishvoice.tv. If you would, please consider joining Jonathan as a monthly Shalom partner. Your ongoing partnership with Jonathan of just $30 a month would be greatly appreciated. Now, let's rejoin Jonathan and Ezra.
Welcome back to the program. Before we get into the teaching again, I just want to take a moment to say thank you to all of you who are supporting this ministry. Yeah. We literally could not do this work without you.
That's right.
Your support makes all the difference in saving Jewish lives in these communities that are enduring very difficult conditions. Mm-hmm. So thank you.
Thank you so
from
much.
All of us for what you do to send this ministry to help Jewish people and their neighbors in need. All right, Ezra, this is such a great text.
It's a great text. It's deep. Jonathan.
It is deep.
I'm still trying to understand the connection of the serpent to the healing of the children of Israel. But while I've been thinking about it a few minutes, I'm remembering Yeshua, Jesus said, just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up. So Jesus is comparing his own imminent death on the cross, his own being lifted up, to what's happening in Numbers 21. Can you unpack that for us?
I can. This is a foreshadow of the atonement of Jesus. This is, and it's very clear. It's not something we're just guessing at. Jesus very clearly makes the statement. Mm-hmm. He references this story in the book of John, chapter 3. In verse 14 and 15, so look at this. It says, and as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. This is the foreshadowing of that divine provision, of that atonement. And by the way, Ezra, the people are in the same situation that Yeshua is talking to. The wage of sin is death. These people have been bitten by the serpent. They're literally on their deathbed. And it's looking at the serpent that brings them healing.
Right.
Those that sat in darkness have seen a great light. That's actually a prophecy about the Gentiles recognizing the Jewish Messiah.
Right.
But the wage of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. How? By looking upon the Son of Man who was raised up. If I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me.
That's right.
It's a beautiful picture of the atonement.
It's incredible. So important for us.
So why a serpent, though? Just I want to bring this home, because I really believe, and this is deep. This really is. This is God declaring victory over the fall of man. So the serpent represents Satan. The serpent represents man's separation from God. The serpent represents evil, but God is committed to redeeming mankind from or out of all of that and restoring us, if you will, back into the Garden of Eden.
Right.
In a spiritual sense. You know, the ultra-Orthodox refer to Gan Eden. It's the world to come. It's the paradise to come. It's the Garden of Eden.
Gan Eden.
Yeah. Gan Eden, the Garden of Eden. And that's what Paul declares in Romans 11, verses 11 through 15, when he says that the rejection of the Jewish people, of their Messiah, brought you, the Gentiles, salvation. But then he asks, what's going to happen when they come back? Romans 11, 15, it will bring life from the dead. Life from the dead. What is life from the dead? It's the restoration of man back to the pre-Adamic state of complete harmony with God before the fall.
Wow.
And that serpent raised up in the wilderness that now is a symbol of healing, a symbol of redemption, is God's declaration. Satan will be crushed and the serpent will no longer be a symbol of evil, because I will restore all things to the time before the fall.
That's awesome.
Ooh, I'm feeling it.
Yeah, that's awesome.
I love this.
The restoration of all things.
I hope you get this into your spirit. This is amazing. Yeah. Yes, we're redeemed from the curse of the law. Yes, we've been born again. Yes, we've been redeemed in our heart, but in our hearts, in our spirit. But it's not the redemption. The redemptive plan of God is not complete yet, until the destruction of Satan, until Genesis 3:15 is fulfilled, and that requires the Messiah to return.
Amen. Amen. And I'm still thinking, Jonathan. It took that serpent being lifted up, and it took Yeshua, Jesus, becoming sin for us. He who knew no sin became sin for us. Just like that serpent on the pole,
and I have
Jesus
complete,
is accursed
I have a complete,
on the cross.
I actually have a complete teaching on this, which you can get from our website.
Okay.
But this is such a deep teaching.
Yeah.
The symbol of the serpent that God ordains has so much meaning. It talks about his holiness. It talks about his sanctification. It talks about his plan of redemption. Now, ultimately, this thing starts being worshipped later on. There's a reference to it in the Book of Kings, where Hezekiah has to break it into pieces because they're burning incense to it.
Yeah, and that's important for us as believers
it is.
To remember. Whenever we take the thing that's supposed to point us to God and we end up worshiping the thing's got to go.
Yeah, God being holy means that he's set apart from everything else. Hmm. He's in his own category. Mm-hmm. Idolatry is worshiping anything created rather than the Creator. So the serpent in the wilderness is a vehicle for healing, but when it's worshiped, then it falls into the Exodus 20, no graven image, because it's speaking against idolatry. You will have no gods before you.
Right.
I alone am
That's
God.
That's absolutely right.
And it's sad, but this is the propensity of man. Anything. Here's what I want you to get into your hearts. Anything that you pay more attention to than God can become an idol.
Right.
anything. Incredible. It's not just bowing down to an idol.
Sure.
It can be a car.
Right. This was a good thing. As you said, it was a holy thing, a God-ordained thing, maybe something we meant in our lives to point us to God, but it's not anymore. It's the thing we're focused on instead of Him. It's got to go.
Get your eyes off the thing and on to God.
That's right. This idea of a messianic figure, a Messiah being cursed and bearing our sins and diseases so that we can be healed, it's not just a New Testament idea. I'm thinking, Jonathan, of Isaiah 53, which, by the way, for those who may not know, is forbidden almost to read in Jewish synagogues
around
the
world. You know why? Because it's so clearly, it's so easy to see
Jesus
in it. You know, the Old Testament, one scholar said, is the New Testament concealed? And it's really true. There's over 300 prophecies in the Old Testament, written, of course, hundreds of years before Jesus is ever born, that in detail lay out the credentials of the Messiah. They tell us where he would be born. Micah 5:2, Bethlehem. Mm-hmm. Though you be insignificant, a tiny village, out of you will come forth the one whose goings forth have been from old, from everlasting.
Right.
It's the prophets of the Old Testament that tell us that the Messiah had to die, but not for himself, before the destruction of the temple.
The prophet Daniel saw that the Messiah would be cut off before the second temple was destroyed.
Exactly.
It's right in the Word of God.
It's the prophet Jeremiah, chapter 31, that tells us the day's coming when God will make a new covenant, and that new covenant will completely take away our sins.
Right.
Now, the Mosaic covenant doesn't even have that provision.
Right.
It doesn't exist. There is no personal salvation outside of the Messiah in the Scriptures. Jewish people can't have their own way to God outside the Messiah, because there's no provision.
Right. There's the whole sacrificial system, but then it says a couple times in the Torah, but for the one who sins willfully, there is no sacrifice.
There is no sacrifice.
Except for one.
And then, of course, Isaiah 53 has so much in it.
Yeah.
First of all, he's despised and rejected, a man of sorrows, and we hid our faces from him.
Right.
That's a prophecy of the Messiah being rejected.
That's absolutely right.
So right up front in the prophet Isaiah, we're told that the Jewish people will not recognize Messiah, not in the beginning.
Right. So
many did, but as a whole, the people of Israel rejected the Messiah. That's Isaiah 53.
That's right.
And then we're told that he would be led as a lamb to the slaughter. What does it mean that Jesus is the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world? No context for it until we have Isaiah 53, that he's the lamb led that he's a lamb led to the slaughter.
He was born to die.
Right, but it's referring back to Exodus chapter 12.
Right.
The Passover.
Right.
He's the Passover lamb that provides the covering of the doorpost. The God who watches over the house of Israel is about the door covered with the blood of the lamb.
Right.
That's Isaiah 53.
Right.
And God lays upon him the iniquity of us all, Isaiah 53.
Right.
Buried in the tomb of a rich man between two thieves, Isaiah 53, and he sees his offspring, his days are prolonged. That's a prophecy of the resurrection, all in Isaiah 53.
Yeah.
And I think it directly connects to the lifting up of the serpent.
Definitely does.
Messiah is lifted up, and it's a foreshadowing of the Messiah that would come. It's a foreshadowing of the new covenant in the old.
Right.
And this happens again and again and again. We see it in the Jewish feasts, or the feasts of the Lord. We see it in the traditions of Israel. We see it in the prophecies again and again and again. It's all there. Hey, we have to take a short break so our announcer can share some information about the resources that we're making available this week. Please consider supporting Jewish Voice. Here's how.
We need your help right now to provide medical care and supplies to Jewish people and their neighbors in Africa. Your support is crucial as the need is so urgent. For your one-time gift today of $40 or more, we'll send you two Confessing the Hebrew Scriptures workbooks, The Lord Your Healer and The Lord Our Righteousness. Both workbooks come with an audio CD, which leads you in following along in English, and then by using transliteration, you can begin speaking in Hebrew the very first time you open the workbook. We'll send these two workbooks to you today as you support Jewish Voice Outreaches with a one-time gift of $40 or more. Jonathan is encouraging you to join him as a monthly Shalom partner. As you join us with your monthly support of just $30 today, you'll not only receive the workbooks already mentioned, but we'll also send you this ancient Hebrew manuscript of Isaiah 53:5, replicated on an aged parchment-like background. Call our 800 number now and let our representative know what level of giving you would like to participate in. If you prefer, you can always choose to give online at jewishvoice.tv. If you would, please consider joining Jonathan as a monthly Shalom partner. Your ongoing partnership with Jonathan of just $30 a month would be greatly appreciated. Now, let's rejoin Jonathan and Ezra.
There's people that need healing.
Amen.
Just like the snake-bitten Israelites, there's people that need healing. Whatever the doctor has said, I know a doctor who says something different. He says, by my stripes, by my wounds, you are healed. Let's agree together, Ezra. In the name of the great physician, Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus the Messiah,
yes. We
speak healing to your body.
Amen.
And we declare that whoever the Son sets free is free indeed, spirit, soul,
Amen. And
body. I speak to cancer, I speak to terminal illness, and I say, be healed,
Amen. Be
healed, be healed, be whole in the name of Yeshua.
Yes.
Jesus, the one raised up for life and wholeness. Amen.
Amen.
And amen. God cares about you. He loves you, and he's ready to meet your need. He's more than ready. You just have to reach out. If you'd like more information about our ministry, or if you have a need and you'd like us to join you in prayer, just log on to our website, jewishvoice.tv, submit your prayer request, and we pray for every need. We love hearing from you, and I want you to know that we do care about you. We do pray for your needs, and more importantly, God loves you. As we close our program, I want to remind you that God asks all of us to pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Psalm 122:6 says, they shall prosper who love thee. So if you want to prosper, pray for the Jewish people in Israel this week. Until next time, this is Jonathan Burness with Ezra Benjamin saying Shalom and God bless you.